Well, hello there to all our listeners out there. This is another streaming podcast with Mick and House. Hope everyone's having a great Easter break and getting ready for the season to start after the Easter break. It's going to be an interesting one, isn't it, Mick? Obviously, today, my co-host today is Mick Rain. So hello.
Hey, how's it? How you going?
Good, good. We've got some other special guests involved today. Reese LaCornu, say g'day.
Hey, everybody.
And his partner, Kayla.
Hey, guys.
What's Kayla's surname?
Nikki.
So, I'm sorry, Carla, I was just putting House on the spot.
So,
and who's our guest?
Yeah, well, we're going to get there now. So, right. Our guest is our former player, former captain, former secretary, former
junior,
you name it, with the club. He helped bring the club through. And we're bringing him to Tom T-Babe Rowan.
Thanks very much, mate. Thanks, guys.
No worries, Tommy. How you going, buddy?
Absolutely sensational. Very excited.
Now, what do we prefer? Tommy, T-Ro, Tom, Mr. T-Babes. Rowan?
Probably in a rugby context, T-Ro, actually.
T-Ro, all right. So, T-Ro tonight. So, T-Ro. Before we start, you were saying before that you've listened to nearly every podcast we've done. How are you finding them?
It's absolutely fantastic. Yeah. Hearing from...
What stands out for you? What's the...
It's good just to... Both when I hear from people I either know or played with, effectively reminiscing along with them. Yeah. And then also... like listening to something like a Tommy Harrington, where, because I'm a bit younger, he's got a knowledge of the club. Gibbo's in a similar boat. Like, I've got a knowledge of the club prior to myself starting to play or become involved. Like, you end up just piecing together an entire history. And it's genuinely fascinating.
Well, finding out, coming up, we found out where the name Murrayfield came from. And we've found out where the song came from and when the got branded the Steamers and stuff like that. You know, it's great to unravel all that sort of stuff.
Absolutely.
So you said you listen to all our podcasts.
Yep.
Is that the fact that you've got no life, bro? You need to get out and do something and explore the world, maybe?
Mate, I work hard. I do a lot of travel, do a lot of K's. And, it's just an opportunity to listen to something a little bit different in the car, mate.
Well, that's good. You do have a life.
If you don't want my support, that's fine.
T-Ro, when did you first get involved in the club? Do you remember what year or what about the time that was?
So my first year personally involved in playing was 2005. Our family moved down to Albury in 2003, and I've got two younger brothers that started playing with the club.
Where did the family move from?
Moved from Narromine, little country town near Dubbo.
Is that where you were from?
So I was originally born in Sydney, moved to Narromine with Dad's work.
Dad's work.
When I was really young. Yeah. And then as a family, we moved to Albury at the start of 2003. Jimmy and Lewis started playing with the Steamers that year.
2003?
Got involved straight away. And that would have been, that was Barry Dent running the junior program at that point in time.
Oh, okay.
I played soccer for a couple of years and then came across to play rugby in 2005.
Is that why you were a goal kicker? Because you were a bit of a goal kicker.
Yeah, I was.
You weren't shabby.
No, I wasn't too bad, except excellent from probably out wide, not as great from in front of the post.
Like a nervy kicker.
The harder it is, the easier it is.
Did the old man play rugby or the old lady?
No.
So how old were the two brothers?
So they would have been probably, I'm going to say, 11, 9 when they started playing.
Wow.
So I was 13.
In 2003.
In 2003. And then when I started playing in 2005, I was 15.
I never realised that juniors went back that far. I thought it was always...
I reckon Louis played in like an under-10s sort of setup. Like quarter of the field sort of thing. Yeah, minimal contact.
That sounds perfect. I wouldn't mind playing a quarter of the field.
Yeah, we were pretty good. We were pretty good.
All right. So, just while we're talking about the brothers,
who's
the best player in the family?
I heard it's Jimmy Ryan. He wants to tell me Jimmy Ryan. Reese is nodding his head to say Jimmy Ryan. Kayla's nodding his head to say, no, it's not Jimmy Ryan.
Everyone's got respective strengths and weaknesses.
No, come on, tell us, who is it?
Well, I was going to say, I'm the only brother with a premiership. So, and a best and fairest. I think, well done, first grade. So, I give myself a pat on the back for that.
No, look, hands down, you're the best of the three. They walked away from the club.
Other commitments, yeah. Other priorities.
Yeah. Mind you, I will tell you, Louis once scored the winning try in one of my favourite wins against Griffith in 2011.
And
it was no way we should have won the game. But to score it, he Superman dived over the line. All I imagined was the ball coming out of his arms and, you know, what's not. But he loved it. The hand came out, the whole thing.
And he was always very skillful, practiced a lot of his natural. Own. Very naturally, quick.
Yeah.
Like all that stuff.
So, notwithstanding you're the best rugby player in your family, when you started in 2005, do you remember what age were you playing there?
So I came into the under 16s. And I have a suspicion that that was the year that they aligned. I don't think we had an 18s team that year. I think that was the year they aligned from 16s up with the senior. With the senior draw.
So, if
the seniors are playing Waratahs in Wagga, for example, we'd be playing Waratahs in Wagga. Under 16s in Wagga.
About midday sort of thing,
and then into the seconds and then the first grade.
Right. So that's since changed back.
Wasn't that under 16 team with you?
Oh, mate, bit of a who's who of certainly junior names. So I think when I came to the under 16s, I'm pretty sure Sammy Devlin was our captain. We had Reese's younger brother Blake, Nick Girdwood was in there. That was the year I think Andrew Lindsay and Luke Driver, the Raging Bulls, started playing that year as well.
Yeah.
And then we had the Kane brothers, Tom and Jimmy Kane. And then at the end of that year, towards the end of that year, is also when JP Meinhardt turned up.
Who?
Jean-Pierre Meinhardt from South Africa.
Jean-Pierre?
He went on to a bit of a career up in Canberra.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Like very, very strong team.
Very strong team. And how did you go?
I got knocked out in finals that year.
So not that strong.
Well, it's the only time I'll let myself say it is the referee legitimately did a number on us. Classic example being we won a penalty, Devo decided he wanted to take the 3 points and they've gone, are we allowed to charge down? Like it's a penalty. The ref's gone,
charge down.
The ref goes, go for your life. The ref goes, go for your life. And so like Devo's like lined up for the kick and he's being charged down. Legit. It was that sort of stuff. It's genuinely the only game where I'll say we legitimately couldn't win because of the ref.
Charge down a penalty.
Charge down a penalty kick.
Maybe we should. What do you think, Reece? Should we be able to charge down penalties?
No.
All right. Just checking. I thought it might be a thing.
Who was coaching you that year?
That would have been Simsy's first year, I'm pretty sure. Damien Sims.
So your coach didn't even know the rules?
No, everyone knew what the rules were.
Simsy is a perfect coach for... Yeah.
Was a phenomenal coach.
For a
coach.
Good juniors team, definitely.
Particularly, even if I think from my own perspective where I'd watched a lot of rugby but had never played, like he was phenomenal from just the basic technicalities lens.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but no, he didn't unfortunately have a hope with that referee, whatever he was.
So who did... The next couple of years after that, so that's 2005, was under 16.
2005? And then it got interesting from an age bracket perspective because I think the likes of, say, and might only have been Andrew Scott was another one on that side, but the likes of, that's Speedy. So like Blake and Speedy would go up an age group, but like myself and Devo and G Wood and JP, like there was a core group that would stay back because of our ages. So we had that core group stuck together.
Yeah, right.
And so then that was still under 16s and we won that year.
So you were playing what they call underage when you're playing age above you sort of thing?
I was a year young. So I was, and Devo and G Wood and JP were all the same. Like we were in, say, Blake's year at school, but we were a year where Blake was born in 89, we were all born in 1990, so we were a year young through the sport lens.
And then, so 2006, you won the grand final. Simsy was coach?
Simsy was coach. We won that grand final pretty handily. I think we beat Griffith 38-0 or something like that.
He had a couple more players add into the team.
Yeah, I think Krautsy might have come in that year. Liam Krauts.
Oh, yeah. How did he go?
He went well. Yeah. We picked up another couple of footy guys from Scots who were pretty handy.
Yeah.
They just adapted really, really well.
Yeah.
And then we had Timmy Hudson was his name. He was a hooker. He was exceptional player.
Yeah.
As well. Like, it was just like 1 to 15.
I think this is across the board, under 16 one is another one that's not on that flag. You know that big flag they run out with at the start of the
games? Yeah.
I'm just not sure that's on there. One of those things that should be on there. We should chase that up someday.
Mm.
And then after that, so you've had a big year, 2006. What teams were you playing against?
So all the what I'll call the normal teams. So Griffith, Waratahs, the old Rivcol back then. Kudamundra.
So Kudamundra, Tamora.
Was
Grenfell?
In there.
Did we go up to Grenfell?
I don't think so. I think Grenfell were in the juniors. West Wyler, we'd play. Tumut, I think.
Aggies
never had a juniors team.
Did Wagga City have a juniors, or was it Waratahs?
It was just mainly Waratahs and Rivcol.
And did you? So 2006. What happened next year?
So in 2007, again that core group rolls up into under 18s. We get Blake and Lindsay and Speedy all back.
So you've doubled up again.
So we double up again. So like there was the myself, G Wood, Devo, JP, we were just had perpetual players at our disposal. So 2007, we rolled forward. We won again that year. Beat Griffith again in the grand final. That year got to be an interesting where the seniors started cannibalising us a little bit. Devo, Blake, G Wood would go up and play seniors.
Yeah,
and because of our ages. There was only a certain amount of minutes they could play in a weekend. So they would leave at half time as an example in our game.
And did they have to get dispensation to play?
Because they were all under 18. Yeah. Their parents or a guardian or
had to sign off on it and stuff off. Like that. Yep. And was it still Simsy coaching?
No, that was Don Cameron. I'm pretty sure the Don Mega.
Don what?
The Don Mega, we called him.
What's the Don Mega?
I think it was just a phrase from a song. That someone somehow or somewhere picked up, and everyone just started calling him the Don Mega. The Don Mega.
Because Matt Wake used to call him the Don Mega, and I never knew what that was about.
Well, Wakey would have turned up, I reckon, probably around 2007. It would have slotted straight into that.
He was a local. He just turned up to start playing, did he?
Yeah. I think he came from Bathurst, and his family moved to the region,
right?
And just parachuted in.
Yeah, he's as hard as a cat's head, Wakey.
Oh, mate.
It reminds me a lot of Hoggy, you know, those sort of guys that they're not fat or anything, but they're just. They're just heavy. Just heavy guys, you know, like.
Just run hard. Run hard without any thought of
personal. No respect for their body at all.
All right,
just before. Yeah, so. No chance of going to a private school because you look like a private school type of guy, you know.
You seen the school fees of those schools?
I'm sure the police commissioner would have had a good bank account.
what school were you at?
Just locally, Xavier High School.
Xavier, right.
Xavier Albury as opposed to Xavier College. Very, very important distinction there.
Yeah.
Xavier College being one of the main Melbourne private schools.
Oh, right, okay.
To Xavier High.
Oh, right, okay. Because we had a lot of players plonk from Albury High through that sort of time, didn't we?
Also, Devo, JP, Blake, G Wood.
Reese? Or was Reese too old?
Reese was gone by the time I turned up.
right.
But like all those other core boys were all Albury High.
Krautsy
was Albury High by that stage.
Yeah.
Raging Bull was Albury High, Speedy was Albury High.
Yeah.
Seemed to be the local school to go for back then.
Don't know what to tell you about.
Yeah. The so 2007, you've won. That's two. That's an under 16, then an under 18.
Yep.
So you've won. You've runner up, then under 16. What happened in 2008? So when you're all actually under 18.
So then we all turn 18. We then just go into seniors, and I have a feeling that the under 18s. That comp might have folded that year.
Yeah.
But like, I think so. Devo moved away. I can't recall
which Devo.
This is Sam.
Yeah.
Sam Devo moved away. I can't recall whether Blake moved away because we're all finishing high school at this stage.
What did Blake do in 2008?
I have a feeling he moved to Sydney.
Was that when you came to shift?
No, I went to Manly.
Yeah.
Yeah. He came back on the same year. I arrived in Auburn, didn't you?
That feels like...
Was that when he got back from Scotland, or was that when he got back from
Sydney?
Nah, he went to Scotland after 2012 season.
Ah, right. Well, no, 2013 he was still here.
Yeah, but he left there 2012 and came back
in the winter, right, yeah. Okay. Yeah. But it's not about Blake, is it?
No, well, not
it's
exactly.
About, it's about Tommy.
He'll give us two.
No, but so where we all finished school, so then myself, JP, Andrew Lindsay, Raging Bull...
Yeah.
Or moved into the seniors.
Seniors, yeah. Now, I have heard a story about one of those grand finals where I believe you're underage and there was kegs at someone's house or some beer, or how did that pan out?
Oh, well, personally, I actually did my shoulder in that grand final and under explicit doctor's instructions didn't consume a drop of anything that wasn't soft drink, so
really
may or may not have happened, can't comment.
You know, there is a statute of limitations on stuff like that. You can't just you can either just say
it was
or
a good
just
night.
It was a good
night, but I legitimately did do my shoulder and it was sore. I think my parents were out for dinner, so they dropped me and Jimmy at
was Jimmy playing?
Jimmy played that year as well. Yeah. I was pretty sore and I was ready to go home pretty early doors.
Did you ever get a chance to play with your brothers in the same game, did that ever manifest itself?
I don't think all three of us. Me and Jimmy, as the ages would sort of intersect would play, and then we play a little bit in seniors together. I would have played a couple of games with Louis, but I don't think all three at one time played.
Maybe that's something you'll have to just create for an old boys game one day.
Potentially.
We're having a lot of father and son games have been happening lately last year. You know, we had the Harringtons, the McMillans, the Sarkises.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to put three brothers back in there. Maybe we could put the Sarkises, the Rowlands, and the Lacornes.
have a brothers team.
And Barry.
And Barry. Oh, Barry, isn't he?
So how was your first year in senior?
Working overtime. So 2008.
Do you remember who was coaching?
I think that was Don. I think that was Don again. And it would have been Don for quite a few years. It was a lot of fun.
Social side of it, was that eye-opening? Was that a different thing again? Because you've got... There's some characters floating around on some of those bus trips.
Oh, for sure. Like, you go into... Effectively, you're seeing your footy environment where, from an off-field perspective, you've got lots of Gibbo, very much a ringleader from that perspective those days. But also as well, like the likes of myself and JP and Lindsay.
When you say
like,
ringleader, are you saying in a positive sense?
Very positive. Oh, okay. Very positive. Very positive. Look, we're all 18 and up for any sort of social engagement as
Padawans.
Correct.
He's gone. Come into my world, Padawan.
I'll show you the way.
Was Mick O'Brien around about then?
Yeah. He would have filtered in and out. I can't recall. I think he might have filtered back in for the under 18 premiership, and then maybe the first year of senior rugby. But then he went away to Bathurst to do. I think it was Bathurst to do uni, and then would sort of come back and go away again.
What about Ash LaFleur? Was the same sort of thing? He
would have turned up, I'm going to get this wrong, I'm going to say around 2009, 2010.
So he
missed that junior element. But then it would have been early doors
Right. So what was your take on the rugby? On the So you've gone from a pretty quality team. I think you won one of those grand finals with 13 players.
I think the under-16 one, we won with 13 players.
Yeah.
And there's like, there was a cool story. I think we beat Griffith away. We're in our under-18s, we were getting cannibalised by the seniors. I think we beat Griffith away with 11.
Wow.
And they had Andrew Fafita, Matt Grote, who was another guy that went on to play a little bit of maybe Brumby Runners and NRL. So we're beating teams like that with just 11.
Quality players.
Are you talking about Andrew Fafita? That Andrew Fafita?
The Andrew Fafita who played
for
the Sharks and Origin, him.
A bit of a gun when he was for the Sharks, that guy.
He's great. He's very, very good rugby player. Very, very good rugby player. It was because the seniors hadn't been that while we were very successful in the juniors, seniors were almost inverted. And so when we all then came through into the seniors, we were sort of came through in an eyes wide open fashion.
Yeah.
But still, like, I 2008 as a first year, we still did quite well in the grand scheme of things. I think we might have made finals and got knocked out maybe the second week.
So who? So you're not sure if it was Don was coaching or not?
I'm pretty sure it was Don that was coaching.
Right, okay. House, well, Reese is just asking if we want a beer. He's using sign language.
Is that?
Yeah. Do you remember the difference in the rugby from juniors to seniors? Was it where you suddenly coming up against?
Yeah, I was going to say there's the obvious ones around the physicality was much more like to your point, like you're coming up against guys that have been playing for a number of years, very strong.
Unapologetic,
like, and even from an opening perspective, like I remember a few times like being on the bottom of rucks and like people are twisting around their fingers and like I think we played a final against Grenfell and I went into the shower after the game, like you take your shirt, I'd have it on your back and I just massive ruck marks.
Good when you see those bad boys, eh?
And we won that game too, so it was
you just had idiots that you walk past with deodorant cans and not spray your nose
up. I feel like that you're the one spraying with the spray can.
Don't know what you're talking about. And quicker too. Just quicker.
Quicker. Yeah. Quicker for longer.
Quicker for longer.
Yeah.
Quicker for longer.
So you stuck with the seniors from then on?
Stuck with the seniors from then on. I actually did my knee in pre-season for 2009, so I missed that season.
Yeah,
And then
that was, I think someone has mentioned before, that was the year they sort of stepped up.
It was sort of, I reckon, gradually from, let's say the seniors bottomed out in 2006.
Yeah.
From then on, each season was like a perpetual
step up. And you've got you've already got a couple of grand finals under your belt.
Yep.
A couple of winning grand finals, which is gives you a good take on the game.
Yep.
The 2009, 2010, 2011. Talk us through those 3 years. So that we didn't make grand finals those 3 years, but
we didn't make grand finals in 2010. We lost the prelim to Ag College and lost the prelim in the last play of the game.
What year was that?
That was 2010. And then they
your first grade.
First grade.
Yeah.
So I'm playing first grade all through this time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was like we would have really good, we'd have pockets where we'd be really, really good. So like we'd go on, say, like a 5-6 game win streak.
Yeah.
And then we'd come up like against the Waratahs and they'd towel us. And I'm like, they'd proper towel us, like put 50 on us or something like that.
Who, so Don was coaching?
Don was coaching all through this time.
What other players were you playing alongside there? Do you remember? Like,
so we would have had,
because I think a few of those juniors have moved on by then.
All moved on. And then we would have had guys like, well, I shouldn't say of course, but the likes of Bridie, Jim Lowellback turned up in that stage.
Yeah.
Andy O'Connor turned up somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Adam Nixon turned up somewhere in
Red
there.
Red Carey
was around.
Yeah.
So there was a bit of a, there was a bit of a core that was starting. I think maybe 2011 was when Wheats moved back, Justin Wheatley.
Yeah.
And joined the team. But like, we'd go on these really good streaks, and then I remember it might have been 2011. We'd been on a really good streak, and then we beat RARC, the Defence Force team. We would have put 70 on them or something like that, and we were feeling really, really good. And the next week, Matt Cook had arrived in 2010 as well. And
how did he get to the club?
Pete and Don recruited him almost, let's call it personally or directly.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a bunch of us down at watching the Thunder play. And Don turned up with Cookie and was like, oh, yeah, Cookie's just arrived from the UK. He's going to be playing with us.
Did he make him take his shirt off and show you what Cookie had underneath?
Not at that stage.
Or did Cookie do the old, can't hear you, turn it up?
Not at that stage. He only brought that out when he thought he needed to.
What's that? You have to explain it.
Cookie qualified for the England disability side. He was legally deaf.
Was he really?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Yep. Never knew that.
Yep.
That's why when Gil said to him that, you know, we're married, he goes, hey.
Cookie ended up becoming a big catalyst for a lot of players that flowed on into the club.
100%.
He's got a really important role.
100%.
In the future of the club.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
So, 2011 finals?
2011, we played finals again, and we would have... Not would have, we'd had another pretty good season, and then we were playing Rivcol in like an elimination final, where we would have been expected...
To win pretty
handily, and long story short, they knocked us over.
Yeah,
we played pretty poorly. They played pretty well, and it was an elimination final.
I remember Cookie going in that game off an inside pass from someone like 30 or 40 metres out the first 5 minutes, and it looked like we were going to win by 50.
And then
everyone walked back to halfway, and I thought, oh, hold on, you've got to get your heads in the game. And then our scrums were pumping their scrums, and Shuddy was just throwing the ball over his head out to the wingers.
It was one of those, and
frustrating.
It was very frustrating. And I think throughout the game, from my perspective, you just feel the frustration collectively growing to be we should be up by 20, 30, sort of thing. And they just kept... Whenever we scored, they'd score back. And then, we'd maybe score twice, and then they'd score twice. Yeah. And you could just feel the collective frustrations rising. And then, I can't remember the scores. I think it was pretty close, but again, it's irrelevant.
Because we're out.
Yeah. Again, elimination final, we're done.
So, 2012, how did that year pan out for you?
Excellently is the short answer. So that was the year, and you touched on it with Cookie. So pre-season,
Cookie left?
No, so he was still here. And so...
He played the first pre-season game.
So he started the season.
His abdominals or something like that. I think we played Powerhouse in a pre-season game.
You probably heard him taking his shirt off and waving those six-packs
potentially
around.
If you've got it.
Yeah.
If you've got it.
There's a reason I keep my shirt on.
So that pre-season story is the one where Benny Walker turned up. Directly.
Right. And who did Benny Walker then bring to the club?
And then Benny brought Dave Cooper Dunn about half... Yeah.
The pale orc.
Dave would have rocked up maybe half a dozen rounds into the season.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was also the year that Rich Mannion arrived, sort of out of the blue.
That was
the year that you turned up as well, mate.
Yeah, so Dave Cooper Dunn arrived on our first away trip to Leeton.
He did too, yeah.
Benny drove down Friday night to pick him up from the airport.
In the old Holden Commodore.
And drove straight from there.
Tell us a bit about the Holden Commodore.
It was just...
VM?
Yeah, like VM, 92s.
VM. Like, was it held together with duct tape or something?
Oh, 100%. And I reckon it broke down... with the guys picking up Dave from the airport, coming back in the middle of the night.
Whose car was that?
I think Don owned it and bought it and registered it.
Club's car.
Club's car, right. So 2012, how, So we had a good year.
We had a cracking year. So, and it sort of started, we beat Powerhouse in pre-season. Yeah. And that was kind of like a, it was a bit interesting.
How do you remember that? That's 12, 13 years ago.
Good memory, mate. Good memory. That's
phenomenal.
And then round five, I think it was round five, we gave AA College a touch-up. And we both were undefeated. We beat, I'm going to say it was like 39-13 or something like that. We played really, really well. And we ended up going... we won 13 games straight to open the season.
And Aggies were a good team.
Aggies were a very good team. And then so we, the first game we lost, we went up to AA College and they gave us a bit of a touch up back. It was like 38-12 or something like that.
Yeah.
And then so we, us and AA College went into the final series. That's called Red Hot favourites between the two of us.
Yeah.
We played them in the qualifying final to get straight into the grand final. Yeah. They beat us, I think it was 36-35. Cracking game. Weeks missed they, or you got charged down a conversion directly in front just before.
So this wasn't a penalty, this was a conversion.
This was a conversion, so it was all above
that
board.
That was the penalty we didn't get.
That
he would have cared. He charged down. So we lose 36-35. Weitz kicks that. You know, theoretically, we win 37-36.
But what was the penalty?
It should have been the penalty. At the end of the, where we were talking about with Brighty, he still has that footage of that last play.
No, they were talking about the grand final.
That's the grand final.
Oh, right.
We lose, and then we go to Leeton to play Wagga City, who that year had sort of come from the clouds.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We played Wagga City and Leeton. We beat them. I'm going to say 27-20 to get in the grand final, and then replay AA College.
So before we get to the result, what do you remember from the build up for that week?
That was
awesome. It's pretty new to the Steamers. They hadn't in terms of first grade, they hadn't been in the grand final since 2005.
Yep.
So
like it was awesome. Like we'd had a really really good year on the field.
Who was your captain?
Brighty was captain.
So he'd taken over from Jim Rollback the year before.
Yeah. But like Jim was still playing. Like there was a core team that had been together for quite a number of years.
Yeah.
And so even that week, like it was just fun. Like the whole year was just fun.
Yeah.
And so even that Saturday, I want to say Gibbo drove the bus up. Left from the north side. It was just fun. Like got there. Everyone's in a good mood. Fantasy update.
What's that?
Roy Guard.
So this is a very astute interjection from Reese, because Roy Guard, one of our big fantasy halfbacks, is down.
Getting stretched
out. All right. Well, let's keep an eye on that in the background. Sorry, Tommy.
No, you're fine, mate. You're fine. Yeah, it was just fun.
Yeah.
Just
and
have
the,
a lot
and
of
the
fun.
Game itself.
The game itself was fun.
We were sponsored by the Garrow.
Sponsored by the North Side at this point in time. Yeah. Game was a cracking game.
So it's a big crowd, isn't it?
Huge
big
crowd. And even running out onto the field and you run through a tunnel and the tunnel almost goes across the whole field.
Was that exciting? Was that something else? Yeah.
It was genuinely fantastic.
Big Steamers following?
I shouldn't lean back, sorry. It was awesome. Yeah. And in the game itself, like, we kicked an early penalty. They scored a couple of tries. We scored a try back. I think it was 14-13 at halftime.
Yeah.
And it sort of went tit for tat the entire thing.
Yeah.
And then we were up. And then they effectively made a break, scored under the post, kicked the conversion. So they're up 26-25 with a minute to go.
Yeah.
We regained the kick. And then that's what Reese was talking about. We were just sort of moving the ball up.
So we
roughed
the ball. We
win the ball. Keep possession, and then we just keep working our way up the field.
How far up the field did we get?
I reckon we were within 30 meters of the goals.
And
so we were effectively either hunting for a penalty or the opportunity.
Yeah.
And then Brighty took the ball up, gets tackled by Dave Armstrong. And I think we should have won the penalty. Like, Dave never released him. Like, he rode him to the ground, never released Brighty, and laid on top of him. I think...
Is that your take on the penalty? Because
that's my take on the penalty.
Okay.
Like, so we should have won the penalty for Dave not releasing, but Paul Deans blew the penalty the other way for not releasing the ball effectively against Bridie.
Yeah.
And then it's a bit rare.
All going on our feed.
It might have been something like possibly. That. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think I've talked about it. Bridie showed me grainy footage of the event, and it fairly looks like someone shooting from the grassy knoll. Like, there's people moving everywhere, it's all blurry, and Bridie's holding onto it. So we'll give Bridie the opportunity to chat about it.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I think Bridie won Best and Fairest for the comp that year as well.
And someone was telling me the other day that they overheard when he was doing his the speech after that game about Bridie, that how classy a person he is, because he put so much into it.
He did stand up and go,
not say Dino, where's our penalty? Not mention that, and then also accept the Best and Fairest award. Mm. Like, there's some hard yards in there.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, and he did it as he does. He did it exceptionally well.
Yeah. So the next year, did you think at the end of 2012, we're done, like this is it, or
no, not at all. I think it would have potentially been a different story if we'd won. There was a number of guys like Bridie and Wheats.
Yeah.
I think Jim Lowback ultimately did retire, but there was like a couple of those guys who were important to the team, both from an ability perspective but a leadership perspective, who probably would have retired.
So we lost. If we'd won. We did still lose Ben Walker though.
So Benny Walker returned to England.
Ben Walker.
But we recruited. So Scotty Meekins from Wales arrived.
Yeah.
As did Jimmy Olds a few weeks into the season. Yeah. And then. Throughout the year, we got Mick Alexander returned.
So I know one thing, if you talk to Tom Boyle or Adam Clements or guys like that about that year, and they would go away for a week, or have a wedding to go to, or get injured or something, you couldn't get back in the team.
Well, it happened to me at the start. All through that period, I was playing first grade, and then I went over to the US and missed I think it was the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
And
is that 14?
This went 13. 13.
Oh.
So I missed those first few weeks and then came back and just could never, the whole season I couldn't get back in. So
who was keeping you out?
So in 2012, Dave Cooper Dunn played prop and he got converted to a second rower.
Yeah.
And then there was Hoggy as well. But there was like,
Big Ash
was like, so I was effectively behind. Hoggy and I were effectively behind. Who'd been the locks the previous year?
Yeah, right.
Were behind Dave and Ash the entire year.
Where was Shishka playing?
On the side.
On the side.
Oh, right. Okay. All right. Well, so how did the year pan out? What happened?
From a
personal sense for you.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But different fun. Like, in particularly, from a first grade perspective, so like I played second grade the whole year, we did well, and first grade undefeated the entire year.
Yeah.
And
so you'd be on the bench for first grade games?
I'd play twos and then be on the bench.
Yeah.
It was fun, but with the fun came a different kind of pressure, because we were blowing teams away. Like, we were winning. I remember the grand final rematch against Ag College, we would have beaten them by minimum 50 points.
Yeah.
And so then we're going to finals with an average for and against of like 55 to 7.
And
the
second grade, same sort of thing?
Same story. Like, I remember at one stage, I think we had myself, Louis Lovett, Wheats, Scott Hannaford, Hoggy, all playing twos.
Yeah. So a quality first grade side. They've got experience in Sydney, sort of deal.
100%.
Yeah.
And, three or four guys that played in the previous year's first grade grand final. Like, it was just a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah.
And
who was your coach the second grade?
Was Troy, like, player coach?
No, because Dave Stewart and Steve Stone were doing first grade. And I think it might have been Troy.
It was Troy Tatchell.
That effectively coach of the twos.
Is he the guy you called Concrete Hands?
Called him Cement Hands.
Cement Hands.
One ball, one pass. Troy, don't buy into House's meanness.
Catch the ball, be alert, catch the ball at all times.
sorry, so 2012, we've second graders have won the grand final.
2013.
Sorry,
yeah. So both first and twos make grand final that year.
Yeah.
So second grade we played Deniliquin in the twos. Yeah. In let's call it in the morning, we win that.
So Deniliquin's not shabby either. Like,
no. And we gave one team. We gave them a bit of a towel up too. Yeah. Like we would have won handily.
Yeah.
And then so we effectively win the second grade grand final in the morning.
Good mate, there you go.
And then personally benched for ones in the afternoon.
And
same sort of story. Like we played Waratahs, and I think we would have won 41-7 or something like that.
Exactly 41-7. I feel like you know exactly the score. There is a photo of a scrum in that game, and it's packed down, and the crowd on the hill is just packed, fully packed. It's a great photo.
Back in those days, though, like country rugby, like for the finals, like because all the finals got played at Connolly, and so you get particularly like grand final day where you might have 16 teams competing, particularly where it's from, like, you know, they're not all the same club.
Yeah.
You just end up with a huge crowd, and everyone sticks around for it. Like, it was phenomenal.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. So,
was that the year when I pulled my hamstring, eh, Chris?
Yeah, it was.
How would you pull a hamstring?
Well, I was that fast, and then
you tried to catch the winger.
I did catch him too. If just those who didn't know, and
there's a price to pay.
How did you catch a winger?
Oh, he tried to go.
There's only one winger I know that you could possibly catch, and that'd be Hugh Irwin.
I don't know if I'll be able to catch Hugh Irwin. Hey, don't undermission your 2-try grand final hero here.
Yeah, he's my love child. Yeah. I don't know that. So you've won the 2 grand finals.
Yep.
Back to the Mangapa Hotel.
Straight back to Mangapa.
And we're there for a couple of hours. What happened over the next few days?
So that night...
And now I am relying on your
that's okay.
Elephant
that's
memory.
Okay. That's okay. So that night, we're back to the north side firstly.
Yeah.
And then myself and a few guys went across to Paddy's. And we were there until...
Closing.
Whatever time we were there until. And then so next morning...
well, I think that was the morning.
Yeah. I shouldn't say next morning. That morning, it was then 10 a.m. on the north side.
10 a.m. Yeah.
And so
no undies.
No undies Sunday. And then the north side when they were sponsoring us, who were phenomenal sponsors.
So Dan Burke's a great sponsor. Sponsors. He's offered to do a podcast too.
He'd be great. Phenomenal. Yeah. He would be phenomenal. They gave us our own room, effectively upstairs out of harm's way.
Yeah.
Was that when we were dressed up in onesies?
It was the onesie year. That was the onesie year. And I actually think from memory, because they're like, if you need drinks, go across to the Bottle-O. There's the Bottle-O across the road from the north side.
Yeah.
So don't come downstairs to the bar.
In a onesie.
In a onesie. Leave through the side door.
Down the back there.
And across to the Bottle-O. And I think it was Reese and myself that were actually able to sign off on receipts. I've just been shown a photo of myself and Dave. Is that? I reckon that might be from 2012. There's no onesie, mate. There's no onesie.
There's a lot of photos floating around.
Yeah. And then we're at the north side again all day and effectively all night. And then.
So here's a question for you. So. We've come up before about the staying power of two of our guest hosts here tonight. Do you rate yourself within? Because you're always around there at the end of the day too. Like you Reece, House, and Tommy Tiro would be the three stayers you would see at the end of the night, week in, week out.
Yeah.
Sure, there's someone that.
I think Reece has probably got more staying power
there. How do you see that? Us.
The staying power
of you three, or is there someone else you could bring into it?
The night's supposed to be finished, and you're still there.
It was all, like, even no matter what the occasion was, it would have been let's go down to the pub to watch the Super Rugby Grand Final or something like that. It was always in varying states. Reece and House are the guys that hold the mantle. For sure.
I'd put you in there, I think. I think you've got a sneaky Guernsey. What about the opposite end? Because you had some... who's at the opposite end of that scale? Because you were playing alongside some freakishly shallow drinkers.
You've already spoken about Louis Lovett,
Gizmo,
at length.
Yeah. Gizmo.
He was a classic. And then
Cookie was
Cookie's problem was that he would always go, like, he would think it was a sprint, so he'd be like, yeah. If I've got 4 hours, I'm going to drink the same amount of beers as others might drink in 10 hours in my 4 hours. Yeah, like, that was always Cookie's problem.
Yeah. Bridie.
I will refuse to say a bad word about the skipper.
Everyone loves Nathan, but he could get to a state pretty quickly, and he could stay in that state for a long time.
The only thing I'll say about Bridie is, you know, when he's on the path, because he will get what we call the Bridie lean, which effectively leaning back and
starts
sticking the tummy out.
But he sort of like got his pressure he puts on himself as skipper comes through when he's drinking, because he thinks, I've still got to hang in there. I've got to act up. Or I can't be.
I've got to be there
for the boys.
The leader on and off the field.
I'll tell you what, just quickly on the skipper though, he put in a great performance at the races the other week. A great performance where he goes, I'm going to heavies, and we said, no, you stay on the lights.
Is that the trick?
Well, that was the trick that night, because he was like, boom, never got in trouble by the security guard, never got kicked out, and he was with us all night.
I feel like you're doing him a bit.
Bridie, you will get right a reply on this, so don't panic. 2013, great year. 2014.
The year we broke our fingers?
Well, maybe before that. So where we anticipated a potential exodus in 2012, it eventuated after 2013. Bridie did go around again, but Wheats has gone. Mick Alexander's gone. Dave Cooper-Dunn went back to the UK fairly early in the season.
The Welsh guys were gone?
Welsh guys both went to Canberra. Jimmy and Scotty both went to Canberra.
We picked up Pat Patrick. He did his knee in the first game.
He did his knee
training.
The centre. Yeah. So he was the South Australian rugby captain.
Yeah.
He did his knee at training.
Yeah.
Did an ACL, but he thought it was okay, and then he played 2 minutes of the first game. And
that's we picked up. What's the halfback's name? Nick Barber.
Or was that when we got all those army guys?
We had Lucas. Tommy Sullivan.
Tommy Sullivan, there's no player I couldn't think in all my time following or watching rugby with a bigger heart.
Oh, effort lead. Left rather.
Oh, that's when we picked up the English boys. That's when McDougall and Tommy Wilmore.
Brandon Lucy as well.
Brandon Lucy
was the junior 400 metre champion for England or something.
Junior 400?
If you say so.
No, I swear.
If you're listening then, Brandon, you're sorry.
So anyway, how did you go there? How did you find 2014?
It was like a real topsy-turvy year because
Cole Hogan
as well. Look, the first game of the year, we beat Waratahs at Waratahs.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
But, like, we do think... Look, so we do that, and then I think maybe the next week Reddies beat us at home.
Yeah.
And I did my rib cartilage in that game as well, so I missed a few weeks. It was just one of those weird years where we do something. And then probably the bottoming out of that year, we lost to Leighton, who hadn't looked like winning a game. And they beat us fairly handily.
Yeah, a lot of league shorts on the players that
game. Yeah. Don't check the registration for league.
Was that the year Alex Lorden and all arrived too, hey?
Yeah, Lordy was best on ground in that,
game. Yeah, he had a cracking game. I really rated that game.
But we didn't. So it was, topsy-turvy, and I think we maybe even finished fourth. We snuck in
and we played Tumut.
We played Reddy's first up.
Was it?
Yeah. And gave, out of almost nowhere, gave Reddy's a bit of a touch-up.
Yeah.
And then we played Waratahs at Albury in a prelim. And I can't recall his name. Eaglesham, Jake Eaglesham.
Jumped off a bridge.
Jumped off a bridge.
He jumped off a bridge. Not to commit suicide. He was drunk.
Had too much to drink.
Jumped off the main bridge in Wagga, Baylor Street, Wagga.
And so did his ankle and he was out.
That's right.
I think in the paper that week as well, the Waratahs are talking about how they were just, you know, we're resting players and we're looking forward to playing Griffith next week.
Yes, in the grand final. Right.
And again, long story short, we beat them fairly handily.
What do you remember from that game? Because that was at home. Justin Clancy had organised us for to have a home final, couldn't be better.
That was at home, and I remember it probably happened twice actually in the first 20 minutes where like we'd have a scrum 5 metres out from our own line and we'd win the ball, and like playing in the second row, like I'd get my head out of the scrum and look up, and Sam Allen was like 60 metres down the field and was like, I think he did it twice.
Yeah.
And then in the second half, like we were tackling like our lives.
Tackled everything. Yeah, unbelievable. Phenomenal. That was something. It was a bit of a shock.
It was. It really was.
What's that?
The 2014 Waratahs.
Being Waratahs at home in the prelim.
Oh, it wasn't a shock to me. I knew we always had it. we just had to have belief.
Yeah. So next week we're coming up against
Griffith.
Something, and they had to come from way back too because they had.
I reckon they came back from Avey from.
Remember it was the two halves of the draws. Yeah, they weren't. It was looking like they might not make it. I think everyone was thinking, well, let's hope they don't make it because suddenly they'll have Dan Rewaka.
I was going to say because they had Marinka Vunabaka and Dan Rewaka,
Chris Latu,
all playing for them, who were exceptional players. Yeah. I reckon we played them in the last round of the home and away season up there.
Yeah, we did.
And that was like they turned it on. We're like, oh shit! Like,
they turned it on, but we turned it on. Because we ain't just missed out from beating them.
They had. I mean, we were stuck with Liam Crouch in the centres.
Yeah, that's right.
They never played centres. I think Reece, were you injured? Yeah. Reece would have been our go-to centre as a backup, you know.
Would have been our fullback.
Well, not when we had no centres.
fill the team out from 1 to 15. Yeah.
Fullbacks are unnecessary. I hope Jimmy Olds listens to this.
No, Jim Rollback will go nuts at this. He wants.
Sorry. So how did that grand final pan out?
Oh, look.
What happened about the first 10 minutes of that grand final? I was going to say, at
a personal level. Yeah, not great.
We don't really care about the result.
So, 20 minutes into it, I remember tackling someone, might even have been Marinka, on my left side, and he was charging through the field. And it was one of those ones where you're like, I don't really want to have to tackle him here because he is charging.
So, what did they used to call him in... He played for Crusaders.
He played for Crusaders at
Fiji.
What did
they call him? What was his name? The Fijian Flyer or
the Flying Fijian?
The Flying Fijian.
He's one of the fastest Crusaders ever.
Yeah. Yep. And he happened to put on about 10 stone.
Yeah, which didn't hinder him. Crusaders. Like, if anything, just made him more
worse.
Yeah, definitely from a tackling perspective.
Yeah.
So I tackled him. So he's about 20 minutes into the game. Tackled him on the left side and jump up. And I was like, oh, something doesn't feel right on my left hand. I looked down and. It was my little finger on my left hand, and it was purple and pointing at a random angle. Yeah. Well, that's obviously broken. So, had it strapped up, and from a pain perspective, it was okay. And then maybe 10 minutes after that, I taken someone on my right side and felt something happen to my thumb, and I thought I dislocated it because it looked really funny. And tried to keep playing. Like I remembered, like my left hand was okay, my right hand started to go numb.
Yeah,
and I remember jumping. We had a scrum. And I was always on the left side of the scrum, and it was me and Hobby.
I was going to say, I couldn't bind
on that left side, so I was like, I think like. And then we had a line out where I jumped, and because I couldn't feel that hand, I was just fumbling, for lack of better terminology.
Yeah.
And then I was like, and then I remember there was a stop and play, and I went down on my knee. I think it was Brady. He's like, "You all right?" I was like,
"No, not really."
I actually don't think so. Like, I can't feel my hand.
To be fair, when Tommy did eventually come off and we saw his hands, he looked like a pair of rat claws. Fingers were going in every direction. Like it was
off the scary movie. Take my thong hand.
So you went out, but so we ended up losing the game.
So we ended up losing that game.
It was, Shishka said he had to carry the line outs, and we go, yeah, whatever.
So yeah, blah, blah, blah.
How did we... we sort of celebrated a bit hard after that because we weren't expected to make it. It was...
Yeah, you know.
At the start of the year, like you said, we had lost all these players. How did that week pan out for you?
So Saturday night, I remember it was actually Blake that tied my shoelaces up for me after the game.
Were you all taking you to the toilet, have turns, helping you go to the toilet?
No, not at that stage. You're thinking of the... You're thinking potentially the presentation.
Presentation, I think it was.
Because, so then we went out that night, and the next morning I got picked up and taken to, because I hadn't had an x-ray at the stage, I got taken to the emergency room at Albury for x-rays. And the dude was like, the doctor, loose term.
Yeah.
Did the x-rays, and he's like, you're fine. Like, you've maybe sprained something on your left hand, your right hand's fine. And I was like, okay, that's, and then so we went to Silly Sunday, which was a lot of fun. And potentially Mad Monday as well that year.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah,
definitely.
Terrible at the start. Tuesday. At the start.
Hopeful win, yeah.
And then all through that week, I'm doing stuff like trying to butter my toast because my thumb wasn't working. And so I'm like balancing a knife between my hands, like just trying to get through life effectively. And then the following week, I get a call from an unknown number and it's the hospital. And they're like, oh, like, did you come in for x-rays maybe a week and a half ago? I was like, yeah. And they're like, are you able to come down to the hospital now? We want to re-x-ray you and we want to give you an MRI. I was like, I can do that. And so I went to the hospital, and this might have been a Tuesday afternoon, do it. And they're like, oh, you're booked in for surgery tomorrow. You've broken, dislocated and ripped ligaments on your left hand,
which
needs surgery,
yeah.
And the ligament that lets you do the thumbs up, I can't remember its full name, but it was called the EPL. They're like, you've ripped that off the bone, and we need to do surgery on that one as well.
So you and just to be clear, just to go back, you still played 10 minutes like that. You remember you're trying to tackle and you're catching the ball sort of in your palms and stuff like that.
I was trying to sort of foster it over to my left hand because I couldn't feel my right hand. So I had surgery the next day, and I was in plaster for both hands in plaster for a fortnight, which is
and
where I required some assistance.
Where did the assistance? So who offered the most assistance at presentation when you were going to the toilet?
Well, that's not where my mind was going. I think I was sitting next to drinking and stuff. I had a straw to help me to have
tea. Yeah, that's going to help.
I think it was Ryan Shishka sitting next to me who cut my steak up for me. That's my story.
Yeah. Oh, so, and did you play the next year?
So next year I had off. So I had the next year off, just both a combination of probably not the smartest idea, because I had that surgery quite late as well. Like, it was probably December by the time I got fully signed off. So I was like, I'll probably just have this year off anyway. I actually did a bit of travelling overseas that year.
Okay.
So I missed...
So you've had a year off.
I've had a year off.
Well, we might pause it there for a sec. So we're pausing at the end of 2014.
Yep.
And we'll come back and take it up from 2016 onwards.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
So 2016. So you're away for 2015. You spent away.
Yep.
Your hands were pretty cactus.
Yep.
And put your hands out now. You're still.
You can see there's what I call the Zorro scar.
The Zorro scar.
Up there.
Why would you ask him to put his hands out when no one else can see them?
Can you just show our listeners?
This is what you said about some other time when Mick McLean was going, oh, look, and this girl was good. And I was like, you'll go, why would you show a picture when no one else can see?
It adds character to the podcast.
Yeah.
So you came back in 2016.
Yep.
How'd that go?
Not great.
Not great. How was it? So it was a struggle on the field.
Yep.
How was it to play in a year like that where we had like 100-point losses, we had that, and you've come off basically a career from 2005, where if you haven't won grand finals or played, you've played in finals almost every year.
I was going to say, it definitely sounds arrogant, but with my entire career, as you say, I've either played in finals or grand finals or won premierships to go from effectively 100 to 0 in the space of no time at all, highly challenging.
Yeah.
Highly challenging. Particularly there was a couple Waratahs beat us twice.
By 100.
Like, yeah. it was really, really tough.
I remember going back to some of the pubs sometimes. It was very lonely.
Oh, tail between the legs.
Yeah.
Between the legs, yeah. Vibes.
It's, yeah, it's brutal, for sure. But to be fair, too, there was also a core group of you guys that toughed it out.
Mm.
So you and Aaron and Erwin, Tommy Boyle, guys like that. There was a core group of about 6 or 7 guys that I felt.
James Devlin that year. That was the year that James Devlin returned.
Oh, Blakey
was there,
Devo turned up. They sort of toughed it out.
Yep.
You know, as best we could.
Yeah.
I think we still won a few.
I think we won 2 games. We beat Reddies in the second round.
Yeah.
Maybe we drew with Reddies up there. We beat Ag College at home, and then we beat Reddies at home.
Yeah. That's, I don't know how you'd remember that, but because Aggies, if we beat Aggies, they put 100 points on us as well up in
Conway. They didn't put 100 on us. They put maybe 60 on us. They put a lot, but yeah, we beat them at home. It would have been like round 5.
Oh, okay.
So it was like early doors.
When Jimmy Olds was still playing.
No, he only played the first five games.
He won the, I don't know if I should fess this up, but he won the leading point scorer.
Not surprising.
Well, we made the decision to give it to Devo, because Devo played the whole year, even though he didn't score as many points.
There's a lot of piss poor decisions you made over the team.
Yeah, tell me that. Yeah, but anyway, it's about Tommy, so let's just calm down. So what happened after 2016? Did you played through?
No. So after 2016 finished, I moved down to Melbourne.
With work?
Different employer, but effectively for career growth and also lifestyle. That's called lifestyle opportunities.
Loved the nightlife thing.
House came down a few times. Like, I was living like that first.
So when you say this, lifestyle opportunities, let's go sidetrack. But yeah,
we're getting off topic. But like, I was living in a house with effectively my best mates. Like, Mark, Joe, Brett. Like, we're in a house together, and house would come down. A couple other guys would come down, and it was phenomenal fun. Phenomenal fun. And so I was away for about 5 years.
Yeah,
and then
did you play rugby down there?
I went to 2 training sessions with Melbourne Uni. Oh, yeah. Early doors pre-season, but with work and sort of getting around the city.
The nightlife of Punt Road, you know, Melbourne, you know.
Spending a bit of time in Richmond, of an evening.
At the Rippers.
Did you have a favourite coffee shop?
Or
bar? Like, where would you go? We're filling in 5 years between stints.
Coffee shop? Probably not. Bars would change, so like Richmond, early doors, and then
Eagle.
It was okay, but like my best mate Mark and his wife Jane moved to Brunswick, and then we started going into like Brunswick, Fitzroy sort of area. So like, we love the provincial. Glamorama got a bit of a workout, like all the inner north. That's called
Yeah. Yeah, I think most of my daughters lived around that area, around through there.
Great, but even like, remove the bars and the nightlife, like restaurants, cafes. A lifestyle perspective.
There was a vegan pub there. There was a pub that I think it used to be a pub and it converted to vegan.
I think Kayla owned that pub. Kayla Rich.
It was on Brunswick Road there somewhere. Mm-hmm. I think the kids would take us there if we could.
Yeah.
So where did you get back into rugby?
So I moved back to Albury in July 2021 and then started 2022, got back. With the club.
And who was coaching?
It was a big house. It was House and Bridie, so House and Bridie were coaching. And I genuinely came back with no plans other than to have some fun. Like, I was like, in my head, I was like, I'll play second grade, I might train once a week, genuinely just try and
have
a social.
How did the year pan out?
So I ended up playing pretty much every game first grade. was lucky enough, privileged enough to be skipper for that year as well.
Oh, okay. Well done.
No, not that year.
Yeah, 2022. Yeah, I only played 1 year after I came back.
Oh, I thought you played in 21.
No, didn't play a game in 21. Bridie, I had a coffee with Bridie in, let's say, August of 21, where he tried to, in the nicest possible way, convince me to come and play a couple of games at the back end of the season. I was like, no, I haven't trained for years. Like,
we were still at COVID stuff was happening.
All
still,
that stuff.
Yeah, was still that's the year we got booted out, eh?
Yeah. No. So he came back for 2022 and, captain first grade.
How was captaining? Have you captained a team before?
Not at a senior level.
No, how was that?
It was good and interesting and different. Like, as opposed to, it's all the stereotypes in so much as, you know, as opposed to worrying about what you're doing, you're worrying about what the team's doing.
If you've got players, trying to
cajole people to train, trying to effectively breed positivity, get people up and about. Direction.
Did it give you a newfound appreciation for the skip?
I actually said to Bridie, I think we played Wagga City at Wagga City and we only just lost. And I did my ankle early in the game and played it out. And I said to Bridie after the game, I was like, mate, like, because I was like, I'm like working and working a lot, training twice a week, like turning up early to the captain. I was like, Bridie, mate, like, you did this with like, a family, like a young kids. How did you do it? Like,
yeah,
I'm feeling tired. Like, how did you do it?
Well, to be fair, Kiwis are a different breed.
Mm.
You know, and Kiwis in their rugby.
Kiwis and their lost wives too.
Oh Jesus!
maybe
let's trigger. I can't. I don't know how to. You need to ring your best mate and give him a trigger warning. Sorry, Bridie. I've added a flag. And that was the end of it for you?
And that was the end of it. Like, the last four or five games, I don't know what I did, but I felt every time I went out on the field, I thought I was going to do my Achilles. Like, it was that tight. And so my mindset changed from playing to survival. Don't get hurt. Like, just don't get hurt today. Yeah. And I was like, once we get through the season effectively, I'm...
Yeah.
So, I've been talking with your boss, Dave Morris.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And he reckons he formally regrets to re-employ you because he found out since you went to Melbourne, you've come back as one of the softest employees.
Go on.
Is that it?
Well, now it's starting to show on this podcast. Everything's starting to get to don't get into today.
I feel like House has just thrown everyone under the bus.
But anyway, Davey Morris does want to know. He's going to get yourself. Because he goes to me and Bridie, who you boys...
Who's Davey Morris?
Dave Morris is a partner at the firm that I currently work for.
Findex. Yeah.
And he's been down to a few Steven games.
So how do you know?
Because I've rung him when he's been in the other side of the world. I think it was LA when I rang him one morning. Rung Davey Morris from the Star Hotel. I said, put another grand on the bar. All right, we're ticking up this bar account on the business.
And what did you do? Hang up?
No, ticked it up. There we went.
No, I don't think any of that has happened.
Well, we did ring him that way.
The phone call happened, but beyond the phone call.
How did you know Dave Morris before that? Because I'm not sure you're going to ring someone you don't know.
Nah, so I was just hanging out with T. Rowan.
Actually, yeah.
Just hanging out with T. Rowan. He just gatecrashed one of T. Rowan's Christmas parties one day, I think, and he come up. It was just the famous House. And, yes, this is it. I mean, way we got it. And he's been down and watched a few games on David Morris. He wants to come down.
Is Findex a sponsor of the club?
No.
Is that something they would do?
I'm sure they'd be open to it.
If they got asked?
The only problem being there's another accounting firm, being Johnson.
Of course.
I think both a major and long-term sponsor.
Yeah, right, okay, sorry, yeah. What about the juniors or something like that? Would they
still different... again controversial?
Less controversial.
Still controversial.
We just need to work through the particulars.
The women's team sponsored the women's team.
Again, controversial, bro. Yeah.
Well, maybe, but you could take them to their first premiership. All right. So we're digging holes for everybody here at every turn. I mean, we're obviously starting to run out of material. 3-2-1. Who's the best three players? And you've got a long stint, so you've got probably 20 years of rugby there in the Steamers from 2005 through to 2014. So that's 9-10 years,
yep.
And then another year after that. So yep. 11 years of rugby.
They're all going to be seeing you guys concentrating on that one. I'm going to give 1 point to Benny Walker.
Yep.
When he arrived, was for all intents and purposes a game changer. Particularly playing out of nine, like he just supercharged.
He sped everything.
Like he supercharged just, everything.
Yeah.
So fast. Yeah. The amount of times you'd been a scrum and get out of it, and he would have taken off from the back and be 40 metres down the field, and we'd roll from there.
Yeah.
Out of control.
And he's then when he's coming at the back of rucks, he's saying he's forcing the forwards to come through, clean out so much faster.
From the behaviours, he's talking to you the entire time.
Yeah.
And even like, you know, clean that ruck or get ready, just from a communication perspective, phenomenal. Yeah. 2 points I'm going to give to Richard Mannion for a similar reason.
He's made mixed egg now. He's just got all fucking barred up because, you know.
Oh, calm down.
Barred up because Richard Mannion.
I'm adding a flag there.
Yeah, go easy, mate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Same reason. Like, turn where the club had been there and thereabouts, he was another guy that just took it to the next level.
Yeah.
The professionalism.
Competitiveness
in a positive way, the demanding nature on other people to lift along with him, and he hung around for a while as well. Game changer.
You know, got close to about 100 games for the club.
Four and a half years. Possibly. Shishka, no, because he counted everyone's games.
Count his own games.
3 points goes to Bridie, the skipper.
Right. Well done.
Particularly from my perspective, like coming in straight out of effectively high school into the team, Bridie was both a phenomenal player and a phenomenal leader. Like, after we lost 2012, going into 2013, like before the grand final, he did like player contracts for everyone. Like the buy-in he was able to get from the team was just...
There was a group of them, like the Nathan Honeymans and the Steve Stones, like those guys that were intense.
Mm.
And then on top of that, you had Dave Stewart had the game plan.
100%. But it all got brought together effectively by Bridie.
But it was Bridie who was the one.
Got the buy-in from the players.
Yeah.
On the field, again, phenomenal. Off the field, phenomenal. Yeah. 2014, similar vibes. Did the Bible.
He did the Bible, that's right.
Did the Bible.
What were you in the Bible, do you remember? Feeling like House would have been Judas, the way he's been dropping everyone under the bus.
Potentially now. I can't remember which apostle it is, but I was like the first apostle to die for Jesus. I can't remember which apostle it was. Maybe Apostle James?
Don't know. Okay.
The leadership, the commitment, the buy-in that he elicited was just
Well, his belief. He believed in the guys around him.
And importantly, extending into an off-field perspective, at a time the club was struggling off the field, he stepped into the presidency fold.
Through the late 20s. 20s, yeah. So with the just one thing I wanted to touch on. So with you, the guys you played alongside in 2005, 2006, do you still have a friendship group with that group? Are the guys from those junior times?
The Raging Bull came back to the club, Luke Driver.
Yeah.
Speedy and I still catch up frequently. Yeah.
So there's
particularly when I was living in Melbourne, Sammy Devlin would come down on occasion.
Yeah.
If he was in town, always would catch up with him.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It closed, and then you got another group through that 2013 period, 2013, 14, that
It would have been multiple happenings over that time. Like, think about like a wedding for Aaron McDougall as an example, where you've got, you know, like a dozen, like literally a dozen guys.
Yeah, from the one team.
From the one team who were all in attendance at that wedding.
Yeah.
So I just want to finish up. I think Reese can help us on this one. The preseason match up in Canberra. The next day, we played the preseason match. We went to Mooseheads, such a great establishment in Canberra. And then the next day, we were one car short of getting a new one home. How many people did we get into Bridie's territory that day?
The most amount you can legally fit into a four territory.
How many was in there?
But there was two props in there as well.
I think, were you sitting in the front seat?
Yeah, me, you, and you were driving. Yeah,
which meant that I was definitely driving, because I was like, I want to get home. With all due respect to everyone else, I can't.
So was that AIS?
We stayed at the AIS. That was the start.
So what were some of the world-breaking speed limits you were doing on the way home that day?
That was all by board, mate. I think we briefly stopped off for a bit of a rest at one stage.
I think there was a couple of times we hit the 120, 125. And so we went from the back.
On the Hume Highway, isn't it?
Well, from the back, it went Gareth and Cooper Dunn.
Alright? Yeah.
And then we Scott Meekins, Grant, Reese, and Bryony.
Was Scotty Meekins in that
car? Yeah, he was in that car too. And then me and you had the luxury seats.
Yeah.
And we got back to Bryony's house, and because the owner of the car was hanging outside, his whole arm was all burnt. But I remember we had to get up the driveway and we'd just get out as fast as we can so Mel couldn't count how many were in the car that day.
But it was serious rump steak right down the freeway there.
It was, you know, like when you look at it, it was like, yeah, there was like a Ford pack in that whole car.
Yeah, no, for sure. Great weekend, too.
Yeah, great weekend. We said, shout out.
Well, before we wind up, are there any other pubs we should give a shout out to?
Oh, Mega Club, bro. That's not bad.
What about Mega, anyone that's giving the club money?
Oh, well, if those who don't know, T Row is known to probably, reborn the Espresso Martinis with Espresso Martinis. One night I was with T Row and they were going for Espresso Martinis.
Hold on, do I need to flag this?
No. And then all of a sudden, I don't know, the amount that we probably pumped into the Zip Bar on Espresso Martinis.
You probably single-handedly funded the... No, let me rephrase. No wonder the Zip Bars had to close. If you're no longer going to buy Espresso Martinis.
Were you part of the Espresso Martini crew?
He was the one that started it.
Oh, you started it?
I was a ringleader.
What's the most you bought in one hit, do you think?
What's the most I've bought? What's the most someone's potentially bought on my card on one hit?
Oh, well, there's a track record for that. So how many did he buy?
I don't know. Bought a few off Tom Moran's card. But then again, we did have a real live bartender lady. She served us quite well. Old Hannah. Lovely lady.
All right, we're rolling down. This sounds like a house podcast. Yeah. The house and my days at Zimba. We would like to thank Brady's. We would like to thank Northeast Bin Hire and MCAL Chemists and anyone else who sponsors the steamers.
Give a big shout out to Shanice. Anyone can guess what the sex of your baby wins $1,000 from Harvest Group.
And no, they don't. There's a rider on that. They don't. Tommy, anything you'd like to finish up with?
No, thoroughly enjoyable. Flag the appropriate things.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to delete them. That technology is beyond us. Our house is just going to need to ring Bridie.
I live at that guy's house anyway.
Reese, Carter, anything you'd like to add in?
Well done, Tommy. Good luck.
All right. No worries. Thank you.